Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
The Lord laid upon my heart this theme for today, what God does with broken things. And I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and read along with me, beginning at verse number 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if I'm kind of moving kind of weird this morning, it's because I slept weird last night, something. When you're almost Larry's age, he's not here today, but I can pick on him. When you're almost his age, you can sleep wrong and then feel wrong. I see some heads nodding. Listen to this. Paul says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. If you will study in the Word of God, you will see that quite often, so that no one will boast before him. I'm so very, very thankful this morning that the Lord called me into the ministry when I was a child to give me a lifetime of doing the work at the ministry. I can tell you that it is not easy for a number of reasons, but one of which is that you're dealing with people all the time. I love people, but they can be kind of hard on you sometimes. Greg over here is running for the sheriff's department, and he shared with me that some that he thought were friends have been pretty rough on him. It's the way it is. There's a lot of different reasons, jealousy and other things that rise up. Sometimes ministry can be difficult. Life can be difficult. This message this morning is really twofold, because it's talking about two aspects of brokenness. On one hand, you have the broken in life. Those who have, perhaps through sin, perhaps through circumstance, have just been broken. Their life is just a mess. And then there's degrees of that. They look back over their life and they see nothing but shattered vases, shattered things. And we live in a world that really doesn't have much use for broken things. I'm watching this as another great minister of the gospel falls in crash. I'm sure some of you have seen that. My heart breaks. My heart breaks for the church as a whole. My heart breaks for he and his family and all the ramifications of it. So sad to see brokenness. But you know, I've also noticed how quickly people who were on the team, people who wanted to be close to these individuals because they were wanting to reap some of the benefit of notoriety. Boy, when they crash, oh, I knew it was coming. Well, if you knew it was coming, how come you were standing so close to them? You know, again, broken things are not a favored thing in this world. But this is one aspect of this message this morning, is that God uses broken things. He's not ashamed to call you his own. He's not ashamed to have you represent him, even if your life has been an absolute mess. So that everybody else in the whole wide world looks at you and doesn't want anything to do with you, my God is ready to take you on and use you. That's one vein of this message. I hope that you can relate to one or the other. The other vein of this message is to those who feel whole, confident in their standing. We also need to realize that God uses brokenness. And in that, it is a very deliberate action on our part to find a place to be broken before the Lord, because God uses broken things. I'm going to go through four. There are so many, but I just want to give you four this morning and back them up with stories that you know out of the Word of God. Because, see, this is very important. If you want to be used of the Lord, see, there is a difference between being active in church things and being used of the Lord. Because you see, when you are used of the Lord, to everybody else, at times it doesn't look right. But you're being obedient to the Lord. It's not always the easiest place to be. Sometimes you get to be on the mountaintop. I've had the great privilege in my life to stand and preach on a regular basis to over thousands of people. For 2 years, I stood in the pulpit every Sunday and preached to almost 3,000 people every time I stood in the pulpit. What an honor. I realized many had never had that honor. What an honor. God chose the weak things. But I also know what it's like to my first precious group was three. We had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service. Three of them and my wife, myself, and our baby. And you know what? Presence of the Lord was just as real with three as it was with 3,000. You see, we start bringing in the world's frame of what is truth, what is right. And then we get confused. What God uses is brokenness. Brokenness to realize that you're so entirely, completely dependent upon the Lord, that without him you couldn't function. So again, two veins, whichever one you seem to fall into this morning, I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit speak into your heart. Here's the first thing God uses. Oh, and by the way, I just want you to notice the pictures that are behind the words. We've added the new addition here. Come on, smile at me. I think it was Ken said he was proud of me for growing in this electronics. I'm not guaranteeing that it would be back. It's just there today. Okay, so God uses broken to multiply. And how many are familiar with the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000? Yeah, okay, so you know where we're at. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. I'm not going to read it. We're not going to go verse by verse through it. I just want you to grab a hold of it. This story is called The Feeding of the 4,000. Here's the relevant part. 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish is all they had. And 4,000 men plus women and children. Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He broke them after giving thanks. And he told his disciples to distribute them to all the people. And in verse number 8, and the people ate until they were satisfied. Wow. Here's the lesson. If fish and bread were left whole, only 7 people would have been fed. 1 fish. Part of the bread. Jesus provides from little to what is needed. I hope you can hear that. Jesus provides from little to what is needed if we will put it into his hands. It is a real breaking point for us to surrender the control of our lives, of our finances, into the hands of the Lord. Come on, we might as well face the truth. It's tough. Especially when you have made a mess. And then you come to the understanding that he says, if you will be faithful to me, I will take over and I will make the difference in your finances or in your life. When he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. First means first. And there is a breaking that has to occur that says, I can't do this. Many people will not receive the gift that God promised to everyone who believes, his blessed Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in other tongues, in a language that you've never had before. They balk at that because they cannot surrender or be broken to let God do something in them that they have never experienced before. I'm used to my mind telling my mouth what to say. I'm not used to the Spirit of God within me creating a new language within me. You see, we think about brokenness just in the area of service, but it is brokenness in the area of going forward with the Lord. It is brokenness letting go of what we think is the essential of life so that God can multiply us and use us more fully. First of all, to be used of God, we must give the Lord what we have. We must be willing to be broken. And from his hands, our brokenness will be sufficient to meet the needs of many. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, talked about an infirmity, a thorn that he had in his flesh, a struggle. He prayed once, twice, 3 times, Lord, take it away from me. I'll be more effective. I can do more for you if I don't have this infirmity. Many believed that it was a problem with his eyes. I can do more for you, God, if you'll just heal me, if you'll just take this thorn away. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes we never get to see the impossible of God because we refuse to allow Him to break us. I'm talking about a very personal level of being used of God, of being in His hands, used of Him, because our equation is, if you love me, you will change this bad circumstance, and then I'll serve you. You know what I've found? That most people that make that kind of commitment never follow through with it. I've had countless men, and men, I'm not against you on this, but I've had countless men tell me, oh, Pastor, I'm working really hard right now, but when I retire, man, I'm going to be really serving the Lord. I'm really going to be serving the church. And I'll just hear them and nod, because I've never seen one who actually stepped into that. Brokenness. Because there's always something else to be done. There's always other responsibilities. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, it sounds so good. We'll even memorize it. That all these things will be added. We are ready for all these things to be added. But the brokenness of seeking Him first is so difficult. But understand, this is just one example of what was placed into the hands of the Lord and how He multiplied. Peter could not even, he could not even control himself. Read the Gospels. He was always speaking out of turn. He was always thinking the wrong thing. He was the Don Knotts of the Gospels. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. I can't watch Andy Griffith. I know some of you really enjoy that. I can't watch it. It just folds me up because I know exactly what's coming, even if I've never seen the episode. He's going to say the wrong thing. He's going to do the wrong thing. He's going to fumble around getting his one bullet out of his pocket to try to put it into his gun to shoot the wrong person. We need to understand God wants to bless us. Would you just do that for me? Would you turn to somebody next to you and say, God wants to bless you? Now tell them, but you'll need to be broken. You see the difference? We say the one with laughter. We want those blessings, don't we? Come on, bring them on, Lord. But the fact is, to multiply what He's already got in your life, or what you already have in your life, or what how He can use you, it will only come by being broken. Here's the second one this morning. God uses the broken to anoint. You're familiar with the story. It's in Mark chapter 14. Jesus went into a Pharisee's house to eat. A woman comes in. We don't know how she got in or what the circumstance was. We're not told all the backstory. But somehow or another, she got in. She was a woman of irrepute. She came in with her most prized possession, an alabaster box of very expensive perfume. And she broke that container, poured it over Jesus' head, and one of the other disciples said, over His feet. So I believe it was in both places, just depending on where you were sitting and what you saw. But when she did that, the perfume filled the whole room. Judas, of course, said, well, what a waste. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus took up her issue, and He said, the poor you will always have with you. But what she has done, she has anointed me for my burial. Now that was so totally out of all their minds and thinking, but he realized exactly what was going on. And when she lavished on him her most precious possession, he took note of it. So her brokenness lavished praise and honor and glory on the Lord. But it didn't stop there. Because at verse number 8, Jesus uttered these words, "She did what she could." And her sacrifice went beyond her understanding to the fulfillment of divine purpose. Jesus noted that purpose, but she really could not have gravitated toward it. She had, what she owned was, she was willing to pour out her most expensive treasure on the Lord. He used it. He used it way beyond what she understood. But I think it's so beautiful because then he turned around and placed a blessing on her. He said, everywhere that this gospel is preached, her story will be told. And here we are 2,000 plus years later and still telling about a prostitute who was willing to break her most precious possession on Jesus. You see it? You see, this anointing, you know, that we pray for, Lord, anoint me, use me, God. What we're actually saying is, Lord, break me. Make me willing to be broken, to take my most prized possession. You know, sometimes I love seeing those of you that have your grandkids around you. But sometimes I have to admit I have to deal with it before the Lord. I'm a stranger to my grandkids. When I go to be with them, I have to spend 3-4 days warming up before my little girls will come and hug my neck because I'm a stranger. I know I'm not the only one that's away from grandkids. But what I want you to see is, you know, what do you give up in order to go up? What are you willing to surrender in order to have the anointing of God upon your life? What are you, and where in your life are you giving him your most prized possession so that he can use you for his purposes? No one may even know of your sacrifice, just you and the Lord. But let me tell you something. When you are able to bless the Lord, you ever think of this? You know, we ask, Lord, bless me. But what about me blessing him? What about me making him smile? You ever think of that? Lord, what would put a smile on your face today? What could I do that would make you smile? What could I do that you would be proud of me? See, he was proud of her. When they started speaking against her, he said, hold on a minute, you're not going to talk about her. They would say, well, yeah, but she's a broken vessel. She's a mess. If you only knew what kind of a woman. He knew what kind of woman she was. But she was willing to break her most prized possession and pour it and lavish it over Jesus. So what does that look like in our life? What is our most prized possession? What are your talents? What are your abilities? Those are really our most prized possession. Are we willing to break them open and allow them to be used by the Lord to bring him glory, to bring him honor, to bring him praise?
He uses the broken to anoint. I need to move faster. He uses the broken to heal. You're familiar with this one. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 11, "that is broken for you." Isaiah 55, and quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, by his brokenness, you have been healed." In Christ Jesus, there is healing in his brokenness. He was wounded for our transgressions. Come on, you know it. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus humbled himself. He was willing to be broken. Listen to how Paul says this in Philippians 2. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality of God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Listen to what Isaiah says, and also Luke chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You know how, you know why he could be used of the Spirit of God? Because he was willing to be broken. He was willing to surrender the glory and the majesty of heaven. He was willing to lay down the power of deity and take up the life of a man, be born of a woman, grow as a boy, learn as a man, and walk as a man upon this earth, and be used in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in his own power of deity. What did that take? How much did that take for him to not move in his deity? Talk about taking criticism. Imagine the men spitting on him, hitting them with their fists. Degrading him by putting a robe about him and a crown of thorns on his head. And he, the Son of God, could have just like that, and they would have been gone. They would have been done. They would have been ashes. But he didn't, because he was willing to be broken so that you and I could be healed. Let me tell you, folks, it is really no different with us. If we are willing to be broken, then God can use us for the healing of others. It always amazes me when I see unbelievers who have more of a heart for the hurting than the people of the Lord. "Well, let them get it for themselves. I had to work hard for mine." Ooh. You realize that in the brokenness and the reality. I was sitting in a restaurant, I don't know, yesterday or the day before, whatever, and behind me were some folks from somewhere, and they were speaking their language. And, you know, it comes through my mind, "Oh my goodness, they're in the United States. Why aren't they speaking English?" And the Holy Spirit pricked me. "When your people came to this country,
they didn't speak the language either. He just brought my heart up. You see, it's so easy to put someone else down, to lift ourselves up, when in reality, if we would bring ourselves down and lift Jesus up, we'd be so much more effective in our world. Greg, I single you out because you are running for this office, brother. Lift Jesus. Lift him higher. If it means you don't get the office, so be it, but lift Jesus up. He has greater things. See, we get embarrassed about Jesus. See, let me tell you how this brokenness works. It's doing stairs when your back hurts. Now, here's how it works. The Lord opens up a door of opportunity for you to give witness to someone or to help someone. And you in your flesh, maybe in everything that seems right, you tell all the reasons why you can't. You see, it's a breaking point when you say, yes, Lord. Whatever it is that he's asking, and you say, yes, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to have the money. I don't know how I'm going to have the resources. I don't know how I'm going to have the time. I don't know how. But Lord, you've asked me, and I'm going to do it. You see, we have the power in us to actually heal a lot of brokenness. I had a friend who lost his wife. And another mutual friend got on an airplane and flew to where that brother was at, got a hotel room, and then called our mutual friend and said to him, I'm here. Whatever you need, I'm here. He said it was a couple of days before that friend called him. But can I tell you, he made all the difference in the world. You see, the sacrifice of time, energy, money for the sake of someone else, you and I can step in to this attribute of Jesus, who was willing to be broken to heal someone else. You know, here's our humanity. We hear about it and we go, oh man, boy, really sorry to hear about that. Sorry, really sorry for you. Because we think, oh, I don't have the answers. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I can't. We've got plenty of excuses, but it will be through our brokenness that brings healing to someone else. The last one is pretty simple. It's really straightforward. And God uses broken people. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2 says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they come into being, declares the Lord? This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word.
You see, God's favor is not in the measure of earthly trophies or treasures, but in brokenness of those who will serve him. Listen, Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Isaiah 57, 15, for this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I think of Joseph, born to be a savior of Israel, given a dream, two dreams, that it was going to happen. But it couldn't happen until he was broken. Huh? He went from his teenage years all the way until he was 30, going through some horrendous things in prison, in slavery, unjustness. And the Lord was preparing him to be used. If you're here this morning and your life has been a mess, I want you to know that God is ready to use you. To use you to multiply, to use you to anoint him, others, to anoint you, to heal other people. He wants to use you. No matter how broken that your life has been, he is ready to use you. To those who are whole, we have an invitation by the word of the Lord to be broken before the Lord so that he can use us. You know, I found this to be true. We know this, but we forget it. We forget that God does his best miracles with brokenness. I believe this morning that there are some here in this sanctuary that God is so desiring to use, to multiply, to anoint, to heal. He wants to use you. The only question is left to be resolved is, are you willing to be broken before him? Would you stand with me, please? Master, thank you for the way that you love us, the way you care over our lives. I've done my best this morning to give to this church family what you gave to me. I pray, O Lord, O precious Holy Spirit, that you would move in us to realize what you want to do with us goes way beyond anything that we could ever imagine. I pray for those this morning, Lord, whose lives have been broken. And they may be standing here even yet feeling like they are worthless, that they should not be placed in any place that others would look at because of the life that they lived, the things that they've gone through. But I pray this morning that they would be bread in your hands, that they would allow you to break them, to multiply them and their abilities and use them, Lord. I pray, Master, that there would be nothing that would hold them back from letting you make use of their lives. I pray, O Lord, for those in the room that are holding tightly to their most prized possessions. Help us to be like the little lady that crawled in, broke her alabaster box, and lavished it on you. Help us, O Lord, today to be willing to break our most prized possession, to be used of you. And Lord, I believe that there are people out there that need the healing that is in this auditorium. They need to know you. They need to have someone reach out to them in love. Help us, O Lord, to be broken sufficiently that we will reach to the unlovely. We will reach to those that don't look like or sound like us. Do in us this morning, O Lord, what only you can do. But may you be glorified. May you smile down upon us as we respond to your word. I want to invite you this morning. I know it is a brokenness in itself to leave that pew and to come down to an altar, but it's worth the journey. You're willing to be broken before the Lord so that he can use you mightily. I invite you to come and find your place at this altar. If your life has been a wreck, but the Lord is calling you and saying, I want you. I want you. I invite you to come as well. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, move upon us in these closing moments. Ah, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. May the hand of the Lord be upon you. May his blessings rest upon your life and upon your families. As we leave this house, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be reverent for those that are seeking the Lord at the altars today. God bless you.